Hey there! Welcome. We've got a great show tonight.
Yes, we do.
I say that every week, but every week it's a great show. Just not as many people this week.
But thankfully not every week. It's Apollo 13 lately. We've been doing a little better in that department.
I know. Tonight, it's going to be perfect because we have a perfect guest. A wonderful lady from Montreal, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how I said Montreal? I didn't say Montreal.
Montreal.
That's how people in Buffalo would say it. Montreal. Kim Handysides, who's a very successful Canadian voice actor, and she's got some cool stuff she wants to share with us. Plus, we got a ton of tech questions.
I love it.
Yes.
And one of the questioners is right here in the audience.
Yeah. So. All right. So stay tuned. Voice Over Body Shop is coming right up.
Two men. Twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place, George Whittem, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voiceover actor with over 30 years' experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology. The superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now. VO2GoGo.com and Rehearsal App. And VoiceOverExtra.com, your one stop for voiceover success. And by Edge Studio, find your voice.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittem and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, voice actors across the entire green earth and blue earth and wherever. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or V-O-B-S. You guys can say that, too. Wait, one more time. V-O-B-S.
We have an audience tonight.
Yeah, all right.
Two wonderful folks have shown up for the audience, which is cozy because we have a love seat.
Yes.
It's perfect.
All righty. Well, here we are in our brand new studio. We've spared no expense for you,
sir.
Folks.
I still have sawdust in my hair from building the set.
I know, yeah. You know, speaking of mad scientists, we made an interesting discovery. I didn't know you were in the movie Independence Day.
No, you know, I go under a pen name.
Yeah.
Or what do they call it? An alias.
An alias, yes.
Yeah, because there were too many George Whittems in the union.
So. Yes, yeah. Well, let's see. Check that out.
There you go. See, I don't need to do this show. I'm a fan. I'm freaking famous. That's Brent Spiner, by the way.
Yeah.
If I had the right glasses, I could almost pull it.
Yeah, without
off.
The headphones and the long hair, it's almost
when I
uncanny.
Walk in here at the beginning of the show before I've sat down and fixed my hair, I look a little bit like that guy.
Yes.
Anyway.
During the show. And as the show goes on, more so.
Yeah. I was sitting in my little house in the woods last night.
Yes.
And Ella was there with me.
Yeah.
And she's looking over my shoulder. I'm looking this way. And she's looking out this picture window. And she's like, Daddy, look out the window. And I'm like, what could it possibly be? The biggest freaking moth I have ever seen in my life was,
wow.
It looked like a bird.
That's a big moth.
Its wingspan was like this.
Yeah.
And it was whacking against, like, you know, moth style,
yeah,
looking for light. It was whacking against the picture window. It was
right.
Literally going, dung, 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 a moth. It was freaking me out.
I'm sure you're out in the woods there.
This
thing
was
boom.
Huge.
It's Mothra.
Yeah, no, I saw it on the side of the house, but it was quite.
That's a big moth.
It was quite scary.
All righty. Well, we got a lot to get to tonight, including moths. This is not the moth hour, but
no,
we do have to start off with the news.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
All righty, it's time for the news. March 27th from VoiceOver Extra. It's all about VO ethics. You know, there's a lot flying around these days about ethics, particularly in info that we get in social media. What to believe? What's too good to be true? Now, you might say, just use common sense. But common sense can be tripped up by our desire to believe what we want to believe. So, is this a problem in the voiceover business? Yeah, I think so. A panel on ethics at VO at the recent VO Atlanta conference delved into this issue. And panelist Paul Strickwerda follows up with more thoughts in a two-part series of articles that will appear later this week on voiceoverextra.com. A well-known scam, perhaps not truly part of the voiceover industry, is where a so-called producer sends you a bank check as payment for a job and then says, "Oops, we overpaid you. Please refund us a certain amount." Well, you can bet that the so-called bank check will bounce and that your refund to the producer is money that you've lost. People actually get sucked into that one.
Amazing. One in a million, that's all it takes.
That's true. Yet Paul gets inside the voiceover community itself. For instance, what to do about companies and online casting sites that many consider to be ripping off voice talent with low pay. His personal conclusion is that we should avoid doing business with them. Well, yeah, of course. And yes, that's still a controversial opinion. Less controversial is deceptive marketing from voiceover coaches and demo producers in the ethical world. Paul says coaches should not guarantee their students any work. Return on investment is not a given. There are very few shortcuts to success. Get rich quick does not exist in voiceover. That's for darn sure. Instead, Paul says coaches should educate their students about going rates and professional standards and not continue to take money from students who have no talent or who show little improvement. Some voiceover agents also come with red flags, such as agents that charge a fee for representation. "I'll represent you if you pay me $250. Yeah, right. Another red flag points at agents who send out jobs that every other agent sends out. That's lazy, Paul says. And he adds, keep an eye out for agents that are never available and who never give you feedback. Look for much more in this series coming soon to voiceoverextra.com, your daily online resource for voiceover success.
Who's on the show tonight, Dan?
I don't know. Let's see.
Who's our call-in guest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know who it is? It's Joe Davis.
Hey, it's Joe Davis.
It's Joe Davis.
That's how you get a mentor on the show.
I know. Maybe perhaps he realized that he's not supposed to be calling it this time. He always calls.
He is calling the
6:12
show.
6:12 every Monday night.
More time.
Because he likes to us to mention his name.
Holy cow.
Joe Davis, voiceactorwebsites.com.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Well, I got some tech. Well, let's get right into a tech question.
Okay,
we've got
cool.
So many of them. Let's go into this one. It's kind of tech news because it's about new gear, and it's from Richard Seitz, and the subject of this is interface choices.
Okay.
Message is trying to make a decision between the Scarlett interface, the 6i6, for example, and the Allen Heath ZI10, which is their newest release of the Z series mixers. Will one of these have better preamps? Will one have better AD conversion? That's analog to digital conversion. Any suggestions and thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Love the show, and congrats on 6 years
a week. Thanks,
Thank
Paul.
You. Thank you. We made it one more week. So
or Richard.
We're here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Richard. No. At the price point we're talking about, in this sort of like sub-$200, sub-$300 price range, the preamps are not going to vary a whole lot from one piece of gear to the next. Their chances are... Basically, the way these things are made so cheaply and small is the majority of the product is on one chip. It's literally like the preamp, the AD converter, everything is mostly on one chip. And the rest of what's in the box is power supply, all the jacks, the knobs, everything else to support the interface.
And the air.
But it's mostly air, and there's a chip in there. So that's probably going to be the same when you're looking at the Allen and Heath versus the 6i6. At the end of the day, they're probably going to be almost identical in sound quality. I don't think if that's the criteria you're using to choose between the two, you're not going to really probably hear a difference. It comes down to features, really. And the ZI-10 is an actual audio mixer. So it's got multiple channels of audio. It's got multiple ways of routing audio. It's got auxiliary sends. It's a pretty cool thing. Maybe you've seen my coverage of that product at the NAMM show. I talked to the rep from Allen and Heath. I would recommend it if you're trying to do like live hosting, like we are, like we're doing like webcasts or podcasts where you need multiple audio signals.
Because you've got a bunch of different guests and
maybe multiple mics, right. And you want to set up a mix minus for Zoom or Skype, or that's where the extra complexity of a mixer like that comes into play.
And that's really the only reason you would need a mixer. Is for multiple inputs.
Pretty much.
It's called a mixer.
Multiple inputs or multiple outputs. Like if you have to route audio to multiple places, something like the ZI-10 is going to serve you well.
Oh, there it is.
There's a picture. Thanks, Andrew. Nicely done, sir.
Oh, you're sharp tonight.
That's a great little. We basically use the big brother or the higher end variation of that. It's called the XB10, and it was developed before the ZI-10, and we have one that's developed for broadcast. It's got a lot of bells and whistles that make it great for what we do. It's got compressors, limiters, a special mix minus channel for a phone patch.
Right, which, and an on-off switch for the broadcast on-air light.
Yeah, actually it does. We don't have it rigged up yet, but if you turn a mic on this board, you can have it trigger an on-the-air light. That's the kind of stuff that an $800 board will do that your $200 ZI-10 won't do. Those are bells and whistles voice actors don't need. I think the ZI-10 is really compelling. I think it's a really great-looking product. I'm looking forward to giving it a shot. I've installed and used several of the previous gen Z10 mixers, and they've always sounded good. This one just adds a few more flexible features that make it a little bit more useful.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
I don't think you can go too wrong with it. Just... don't get caught up in the minutia of the preamps. I mean, I'm just blown away with the quality that's built into these devices now. It's getting harder and harder to differentiate between a standalone preamp,
right,
and at least a preamp that's designed to be clean.
Right.
A client of mine has a Scarlett 2i2 and a Grace M101. And the only reason we ended up using the Grace is because it has a high pass filter button. It's just nice that we could turn that on and filter out all the rumble, because he had a very rumbly studio.
Yeah, and the thing is, but you can do that in software.
You can do it in post.
Do it in post. But so you have total control that way.
It's nice that as soon as you stop recording and you look at the waveform,
right,
it's already, you know, pretty clean without a lot of garbage in it.
Right, right.
It's kind of nice. But again, if he hadn't bought the M101, I wouldn't have used it. I wouldn't have cared.
That's a very expensive high pass.
It's a very expensive high. But other than that, we cannot hear a difference between the Grace in the signal path and the Grace out of the signal path.
It amazes me how many times I will, you know, go into somebody's studio mopping up after some highfalutin engineer said, "Oh, you got to have this, that,
channel
and the other thing."
And all that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, unplug it. Gee, that sounds a lot better. Yes, that's right.
And we realize that Grace will not be a sponsor of our show anytime soon. Thanks for me saying this. And
they make great stuff. I mean, it's a beautiful preamp.
I know the guys from Grace. I've known them for a long time. My cousin was a fabricator for them. He built their equipment for many years, and I love them and I love their stuff, but I'm always going to be honest. You come to us, we're going to tell you, we're going to give you the honest story here. Nobody's in our pockets. So that's just what we found to be true.
Great for rock stars, not for voiceover.
Just don't need it.
Then when it comes to making music, that stuff rocks, but not for voiceover. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, we have a lot more questions we're going to get to, and thanks for sending those in. And we've got Kim Handysides standing by and in Montreal, and we'll have a whole lot more to cover here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running. And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Weightlift
your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
Well, I wanted to take a moment to thank one of our sponsors, Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. You've probably heard of them by now if you're in the voiceover industry, and you might be wondering if it's time to get Source Connect. Well, I think it's at least time to try Source Connect. If you're a voice actor who's been working at this for a few years, and you're trying to go for some of the bigger budget jobs, commercial work, things where the studio on the other end is recording you and producing the spots, and they want to work with you live and give you direction live, Source Connect is a tool you should be considering, strongly considering, because it's definitely catching on as a new standard that's going to take over and is taking over for ISDN. So if you want to give it a shot, go over to source-elements.com. You can sign up for a 15-day free trial and start experimenting with it. It works on Windows and it works on Mac. It'll work with just about any audio interface you already have. And you don't even need to use a recording program with it. It's a totally standalone application. It works just, it's about as easy to use as Skype. So you can get it set up and start testing it right away. If you're someone that happens to be going to NAB, I know it's a very small number of you, but if you happen to be going to NAB, they're going to be there and they're going to be showing off some new stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about yet. But as soon as NAB's over, we'll be talking about some new cool things from Source Elements. But anyway, I want to thank them for the support of VoiceOver Body Shop, and we'll be right back with more tech questions right after this.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
A good old-fashioned actor.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Guys, thanks for sending in these questions. And we've been begging you guys to send us in questions. And really, since VO Atlanta, they've been pouring in.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Which is great. So I guess people listened to what we had to say
there. The genesis of this show to begin with was taking questions, car talk style.
So absolutely.
It's great to have them.
Okay. Guy. Well, first question we had tonight. Well, second one, because Rick Seitz sent us that one. He says, hey, guys, a question I've always wanted to ask. Maybe I should look in this camera.
This is from Andrew Kaufman, by
the way. Andrew Kaufman. Okay. He says, I know we always work with a WAV file to make changes to our original source file. However, what happens to an MP3 file if you use it to make changes and then save it again as an MP3 file? Gee, I've never done that. What is going on with all the bits and bytes once you save on top of the file? Also, what happens if you resave an MP3 file as a WAV file? Not that I do either of these things, just curious.
We've all done it.
Well, MP3 files essentially are a way to compress the amount of data that is in a signal. And what it does is it takes out things that aren't audible.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. You know, like the really high-end stuff, you know, unless you have a really, really high voice that only dogs can hear.
The algorithm was developed by these German dudes at Fraunhofer Institute. And they came up with this, I think they call it psychoacoustical. Basically, they figured out an algorithm where when one sound masks another sound, the other sound behind it is not audible. Right. And somehow this thing removes that extra bit of audio.
Right. So, but the fact of the matter is what it's doing is it's reducing the amount, the size of the file so you can put it into an email and ship it off to your clients and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or have a nice song on your iPod.
Mm-hmm. Squeeze more tracks onto your iPad.
Absolutely.
Stream them over crappy internet connections.
I know. My entire CD library is on this little iPod thing.
Yep.
It's amazing. Saved an entire wall of storage here in Southern California, which if you live here, know how important that is.
Exactly.
But anyway, saving them, I have found, because we're recording them generally, 128, 44.1, they're high quality CD quality files. And since you're really not removing anything that can be heard, it's not a big issue. It's as generations tend to go on.
It's the generations that's the problem.
You're going to start to break down quality a little bit.
I liken it to dubbing a tape of a tape. Remember the taping thing? The tapers?
Yeah.
Like the guys that used to tape all the Grateful Dead shows.
And right.
You'd make a dub for a buddy, and then they'd be like, oh, man, make me a dub of that. And as you go on and on, yeah, it's not so much more hiss, but you lose top end. It sounds more and more like you're underwater. The quality gets worse and worse.
It's like VHS.
Yeah, so every time you convert MP3 back, basically what happens is as soon as you open an MP3 in your DAW or in your recording program, it's converting it to a wave.
Right.
It's just doing it transparently. You don't know it. It's just in the background, it's doing that conversion. That's why they take longer to open and save. So you're always converting to a wave every time you open an MP3 and you edit it. So if you keep doing that, you get that generation loss. It gets worse and worse. But it's that lossiness. It's a lossy codec. So it's that loss of data that's the problem. You can't keep losing data over and over and expect to keep the quality at where you started. Right.
So the answer really is keep your WAV files, the original WAV files. So you make any changes, save it as a WAV. And then save it as an MP3. So you're always at top quality when you're transferring it down to an MP3.
You can probably handle one generation loss okay. Like if you, I only saved this MP3 and the client needs a pickup, and you can probably handle one generation loss as long as your encoder is set to best possible quality.
Yeah.
Like in Twisted Wave, there's a setting for that. It's zero best. Make sure you're using that. It really does make a difference.
Yeah. So hopefully that answers your question, Andy. Okay. Sonia Meneses. Now,
Meneses.
Whatever. Okay. Hello, she says. I was so happy to get to see part of your presentation at VO Atlanta. So were we. Unfortunately, I couldn't stay for the whole thing since I was serving as an ambassador and had to move on to my next assignment.
At least you had a good excuse.
That's true. Oh, she was the one that got out of there. Everybody else was like wrapped in attention. My question is I have this idea of rebuilding my son's loft bed from IKEA, a metal frame, which has an almost 5-foot-tall space underneath, and line the inside to create my recording space.
Yeah.
I will likely have to be seated while recording.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Unless you're under five feet tall.
I'm literally just getting started with my voiceover career and should be recording my demo by the summer through Edge Studio.
All right.
Well, okay. So I'm looking forward to looking for a way to save money. Mm-hmm. Does this sound like a good idea or a sound disaster waiting to happen? Well, I said, you know, it would help if you sent us a picture. So she sent me a picture of herself, and I'm like, yes, it's gorgeous, but no, a picture of the room would probably be, and she was, well, lovely gal.
Yeah.
But let's take a look at some of those pictures. Here you can see, the dog crate, definitely too small to build a booth out.
Yeah, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, she gave me the dimensions of the room. Next picture there, Andrew, or you actually recorded this as an actual video, didn't you? Okay, well, it'll get there eventually. But she has a closet in there,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like it's deeper than 18 inches. So this is, you know, part of the room there. And so she's got a lot of room, but an IKEA bed. Now, remember, I think it was, what's her name, up in Santa Clarita, who had the bed on top of her, the actual mattress on top of her.
Yes.
It worked great. There is the closet she has.
Okay.
I think if you clear that closet out and line that with the proper acoustical accoutrements, that will probably sound just fine.
You know, I've got a dissenting opinion.
Okay,
but
go for it.
That's why we do this show.
That's right.
The closet, I would say yes, use the closet if it's the only place that you can go to get rid of the background noise.
Right.
Like if the closet's the quietest spot and that's the best you can do, then go in the closet. But I'm more of the opinion of using that larger space.
You like the big rooms.
As goofy as this IKEA bed thing sounds, as long as the box spring or whatever is over your head is open.
Judy Greenberg, you know, that's who it was.
Yes, Judy Greenberg.
Yeah.
As long as that thing over your head, the mattress, is soft, like it's the bottom is exposed, not a big sheet of plywood, then that thing is going to work like a humongous bass trap, and it's going to trap a lot of noise, sound, and bounce, and it's going to be a good thing acoustically. If it's just plywood on your over your head, that's going to be a bad thing. So it depends on what's on the bottom of the mattress. But then just hang some moving blankets around the frame, and you get an instant booth. I don't know. I think it could work, but you know, go with what feels good. I think I'd like the larger space if it was me.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is you have the bed frame, you've got the loft bed.
Try it out.
It's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah, go to the store there. Harbor Freight.
$4 for moving blankets.
Even online, harborfreight.com, you can buy these blankets super cheap.
I got a whole pile of them in my trunk just when I show up to people's houses. Here, we'll try this one. Okay. Sort of a follow-up question from Sean, who would not give us his last name. I think we may have to require people to give us their last name or at least their social security number. I have my room set up with sound blankets, 7 total. It's a rather big room. This is one of your things.
Okay.
I don't have anything on my ceiling at all. I do voiceovers by my desk using the desk stand that came with the Rode Procaster.
Yikes.
Or is that a podcaster?
Well, they have both.
Could be
a Procaster.
Oh, okay. I recently did a live recording, and someone said, still too live boxy. How do you get rid of that? Do I need something around me as well, not just the walls?
What you're ignoring, Sean, is placement.
Ah, yes.
How far away is this mic? Is it a foot away? Is it an inch away? Probably not an inch away. I'm guessing it's probably like 6-8 inches away. You can't use these Procaster, any of these dynamic radio mics, the way you would use a condenser mic like this.
Right.
Those mics were designed to be worked very close. They're designed for close proximity.
Right. And not for voiceover.
Not for voiceover. That's basically Rode's answer to the RE20.
Right.
It looks a lot like an RE20. So I bet a lot of it has to do with placement, the majority of it. Get that mic in the right place, it's going to sound dramatically better. Do you need something on the roof, on the ceiling overhead? Yeah, you may, but get the placement right first. That's absolutely crucial.
All right.
And let's get Jay O'Harsh's thing in before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, Jay, wave. Get the audience shot here. There we go. There's Jay O'Harsh.
He came all the way here.
From Chicago.
Just to ask this question.
Yeah, that's right. Well, apparently, you've had a little bit of trouble with your booth. Just a little bit.
A little bit of trouble with his book.
Okay. Well, it's...
I'll read the question.
Okay.
What do you do if you assemble a booth and the door doesn't seal well when it's shut? In his particular case, and there's a visual reference here of what he's describing, there's such a big gap at the top of the door, a T-shirt fits into the gap quite nicely. There's another shot of the door... shut, which is rather a good illustration as well.
Yeah, how that works.
There you go.
You can see the actual T-shirt in the door there.
Yeah, there's quite a large gap. We won't call out who made the booth. That wouldn't be fair on the show tonight. But I will say that one thing you can do, Jay Harsh, is you can add a much thicker gasket or weather stripping at the seam. And if that's not enough to make up the gap, you may need to add something called a door stop.
Right.
What you do is you get like a piece of wood. If you look at the perimeter of the door to the studio, there's a piece of trim that goes all the way around that has rubber on the perimeter of it. And this is the doorstop, and the door rests against this seam right here. The door in your studio is sagging so low that it's not meeting the doorstop anymore, if there is a doorstop. So you could get a piece of wood 2.5-3 feet long, however long you need to fit in that space, screw it to the ceiling and add some weather stripping to fill in that gap. You know, that would be what I would probably recommend. It'd be the easiest thing, the cheapest, and probably the most effective thing that would fix that issue. But yeah, there's definitely an issue with the manufacturer of the booth. If there's a gap so big, you can shove a T-shirt in there.
That's definitely a problem.
Not a good thing. So
Alrighty.
That's what I would try.
Lots of great tech questions today.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. And if you have a question for us, you can write to us at theguys@vobs.tv.
Mm-hmm.
And I will see that question and I will ask you, can we use this question on the show? And you'll go, don't mention my name. And I'll go, then we won't use the question. If you're not willing to, speak up for yourself, then and just send that to us. And George and I are happy to answer it because that's really what this show is about. Even though we have a great guest coming up.
Yep.
Kim Handy Science will be joining us, and we're going to talk about all sorts of cool stuff with your voiceover career. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
All right. You know, now's a great time to get Rehearsal Pro, because in just a few short weeks, there's going to be a brand new feature in Rehearsal Pro that will blow you away. We're going to give you the access to a new community of actors and voice talent where you can offer your services as a professional to help others with their rehearsing and scene exploration. More details coming very soon. Now, Rehearsal Pro, the app for actors and voiceover talent, is available now at rehearsal.pro/download. That's rehearsal.pro/download. Learning your lines for on-camera work has never been easier, and creating quick, awesome-sounding voiceover auditions has never been faster. And with the new Reader Marketplace, you'll be able to create your own business helping other actors book more work. That's Rehearsal Pro, available at rehearsal.pro/... Thank you. That's Rehearsal Download. That's rehearsal.pro/download.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Vizzy Demos introductory pricing extended through the end of April.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
All right, and now it's time to introduce our guest, joining us all the way from Montreal, where it is very cold, although maybe it's warmer there. We'll have to ask her. But Kim Handysides is a Canadian voiceover actor. Kim's background is woven back and forth between acting and radio, TV. The mainstay of Kim's work, thousands upon thousands of voice commercials and work for commercials, corporate videos, and e-learning programs, which is the bulk of our business, guys.
She's a working voice actor.
She's working hard, too. As a commercial voice, Kim was the voice of L'Oreal Milk. She was the voice of Milk. It says Milk.
No.
All right. Yeah. All right. And Hershey Products for over 15 years and several grocery and pharmacy chains for over 25 years. Mm-hmm. She's been one of the top 10 Canadian commercial female voices for over a decade.
Fantastic.
All right. Her voice has been on 3 Clio award-winning ads, 24 Communicator Awards for e-learning excellence, and on a film nominated for a Golden Palm at Cannes.
Very nice.
I said that right, too. Along with a plethora of voiceover for corporations, Kim has narrated several TV series and documentaries, including Beyond Belief and Occult Crimes. But most importantly, she's also a writer, a coach, a scuba diver, and a cross-country skier. All in one.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
You got to see it.
All right. But anyway, let's welcome to our show. We've been waiting patiently. She's been waiting so patiently out there in Montreal. Kim Handysides, welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
Thanks, guys. I'm thrilled to be here.
All right. Well, I gave you a little bit of an intro there, but tell us a little bit about how you got into voiceover, because you originally wanted to be an actress.
A Shakespearean actress. Yes. I started in theater school, and I met basically the equivalent of Maggie Smith. She was amazing. And I thought, oh my God, I love her, but she is such a gypsy. And I, you know, so it was like that whole fear of starving artist kind of thing just filled my soul. And so I went into television and film and radio instead. And basically, I kind of went, like I said, I went back and forth between summer theater and work in films and TV shows when I could get it, and working as a radio DJ, working as a reporter, a weather woman, which was a lot of fun, and a producer too. And eventually, like through that time, sort of fell into voiceover, and it's just like, it just like was the perfect clink. It just fit so well. And I loved it. And 25 years ago, decided that's all I wanted to do. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of different skill sets that you were able to learn there. And that's really cool. And those sorts of things will take you into voiceover and serve you well once you're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about having had a theater background and having worked in film is I really know how to approach a script. And, you know, knowing what to do with the words is almost as important as knowing where to put your earphones in when you're on a live stream show. You know, it's got to be right. so it's a facility with the script, which I find is key in being able to deliver anything. I don't know. It's one of the things that I love about this industry is the variety that we can do so many different things every day, and that's great.
Yeah, we sort of have the thumb on what's going on in the world, sort of thing.
We try.
Yeah. All right, now. We found out, as you mentioned to us, you went to school with a good friend of ours.
Yes.
Who, you know, hopefully she's watching. Sometimes we see her here. But she is in the greater Toronto area, and she's one of the things that makes it great. Ellie Rae Hennessy, who's just a little bit different when it comes to her coaching and teaching style and
vibrant,
maybe is the word vibrant, bubbly, you know, maybe not bubbly. I mean, but tell us a little bit about your experiences with Ellie Rae.
Oh my gosh. She was a star. Even when we were in school together, she was 1 year ahead of me and in the BFA program. And I remember watching her on stage, and she was just like, riveting, just riveting. And also very, very generous as a fellow actor, always wanting to give and share the stage and, you know, to create a better product, to create a better experience. And, just very loving, very, very inclusive, which is what you want, not only in a great actor, but in a great friend and person too. She's always been fantastic.
All right.
Yeah, she is.
I don't have any like deep, dark Ellie Rae stories, but she probably has them herself.
You know? Right. Yeah. She waited to have her come on and defend herself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We've had her on once or twice.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And we did see her at VO Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You know, making what was it? There was a theme playing or something, and she's like, I'm just waiting for the theme to finish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She likes to make an entrance. But anyway. Seeing as you've done all of these different things, I mean, you know, commercials, e-learning, this is the stuff that the meat that a lot of voice actors really need to be using these days. Everybody thinks, well, I got to be in commercials. That's where the money is. The money is really in working every day. And, you know, if you're not doing commercials every day, you've got to be doing other stuff. How is it that you find all of this different work? I take it you have some representation, but do you do a lot of your own marketing?
I do have some representation. I've had the same agent in Montreal for 30 years.
Wow.
And I love her. Yeah.
And she must love you too.
Yes. And I also have tag talent in the States who I also love. I haven't really looked for a lot of other agents in the US. I probably should. My agents don't get me a lot of my work. In total, maybe about 15%, 15 to 20%. Most of it is me. And I do have a presence on the pay-to-play networks, but I also like so many, like Mark Scott talks about, and like J. Michael Collins talks about, it's maintaining and nurturing the clients that you have. As soon as you get a client, that it's up to you not only to just do that job, but then to hold on to them, to meet them, to milk that kind right. of relationship to, because, you know, there's such a difference between a cold call or a cold email and a warm email right. or a warm call. Someone who've already had work with, it's so important to maintain that relationship. When I started here in Montreal, I was working at a radio station, and I, you know, some guy had been around forever said, "Hey, Handyside, how come you're not doing work on ACTRA?" And which is the union here. And I said, "Well, I don't know. Why not?" And he said, "You know, you've already fulfilled the requirements." And so I went ahead and I did that. I then needed to get the attention of all the ad agencies in town. So I put together a demo tape of stuff that I'd done at the radio station, sort of, you know, jazzed it up a little bit, built it around a concept of a coffee break. And then I hired a guy at my agent's agency, like someone who just graduated and was willing to go and dress up like a mime all day and top hat and tails. And I built the demo around a coffee break. I know you guys are really busy, your ad agency reps, your creatives, your, you know, really, really, you know, mountains of work. But on your next coffee break, why don't you give this tape a listen? And in the meanwhile, here's my guy, and in comes the mime, and he'll have, you know, serve them coffee and biscotti and truffles or whatever, and give them a coffee break right then. And then they would be compelled to listen to my tape. And it was a really great little gimmick to get me in the door. And the key now is to find those same kind of gimmicks, those little marketing things. And that's where, you know, when we're creative people, we've got to get creative about it and try to do that same thing, but not face-to-face. Face-to-face is always the hot. It's like, that's the hottest way to be able to market yourself. If it's not face-to-face, what else can you do?
Oh, that's true. Well, do you do any mailing or... You know, obviously you must do some cold calls and along with some warm calls, but do you have any other tips or things that you try?
Yeah, I friends of friends, as soon as you've made an acquaintance, like, you know, like one of the things that I do is I'll write down as soon as I, like, if I do some, if I have a, you know, when you have a conversation back and forth with someone, even in your own studio, it's like, you'll talk about something. Hey, you're in Idaho. You've been skiing lately, you know, and then note it down, write down, oh, this guy skis. Oh, he's got two kids. So that the next time you call, you say, hey, have you been taking your kids skiing lately? You know, or I did some, you know, just those kinds of notes I find are really, really important to be able to, have contact. Same thing when you're doing a cold call or a cold email. I like to never send out when I'm doing a mailing, and I do them, and I hate them, but I do them anyway. I always like to call ahead of time. Maybe you're not supposed to do that, but I do because I want to find out exactly who I'm speaking to, that I'm sending it to the right person.
Right.
And if there's anything that I can find out from the receptionist about that person, sometimes they're really like tough gatekeepers and they won't let you get kind of info. But sometimes, you know, you catch them on a good day and they open right up and you find out, oh yeah, she's at the vet's right now, her pet's getting something, and you know, so then you've got an in.
Yeah.
And all those little ins are important.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're networking, I have found that it's important to, you know, find out who's the person that does certain things in your company. You meet somebody somewhere, and the question is always, who's the guy? Who's the guy that does your e-learning? Who's the guy that does your corporate presentations? Can I have his name? You know, can you tell him I'm going to call you? Something along those lines. And that's always a good one, too, when you're trying to, like, get past the secretary or, you know, it's like, I know exactly who I need to talk to.
I'll chime in because I listened to my girlfriend Maxine Dunn talk about this. She's really good at cold calling, and it's never really truly a cold call per se because she has researched extensively who it is she's going to be contacting.
If I heard her voice, I would just listen to her anyway. But that helps. But.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's you don't go in totally cold. It's just you're not just going through a list and throwing darts at it.
Friends are friends and colleagues. I was working at one of the things I do every year for everybody in my town is every Christmas I go around and I distribute chocolates. It's sort of my thing. And, you know, like a little elf or whatever. And, you know, thanking them for their business and their friendship, their business friendship over the year. And I also then get a chance to say hi to the other people in the office too, because those other people can also be leads and they know you because they've heard your voice, they've heard your work, they know your reputation. So I recently just got a new college that's producing e-learning based on, you know, someone who had been a graphic designer. So like graphic designer, that's not really someone you think of as a lead, right. But she was because we just had this great relationship over the years from another e-learning company that we both worked at.
Right. There's no shortage of work out there. That's clear. I mean, it's growing. Like you're saying, a university does its e-learning, you know, what they used to call distance learning. Mm-hmm. And now it's just there's opportunities everywhere, and you've got to really, really network. Now, one of the big opportunities and one of the things you and I have in common is you've done a lot of international work. It's a worldwide market now. And the fact of the matter is there's so much work that's coming out of places like India and in various other, certainly stuff coming out of Europe. I mean,
English language in these other countries.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even in Arabic countries and places like Egypt, where they speak a lot of English and they need English announcers and stuff. How have you found rates for international work? What are some of the countries you do business in?
You know, it's very interesting. I have my rate sheet and then I have my India rate sheet. India is a tough nut. Everything is going to be lower. They're used to I've had a booth in my house for 2.5 years. What precipitated that was one of my clients represented 40% of my income, which was really huge.
And that's a lot of work, too, if it was out of India.
Yeah, well, it was in Canada,
But
they got sold to India.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. And so I kind of went, and they invited me to continue working for them at a sixth of my rate.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And when that wasn't going to happen either, I'm union in Canada, I'm non-union in the States. So, I have a rate card for the rest of the world. And then I have a rate card for India. And you know, the thing with, I guess I justify that because it's like the volume, you know, it's like, if you get a lot of volume from India and you tend to do that, then that will justify a lower price. But Germany, great prices, no problem. Middle East, same thing. Dubai, great prices. Singapore, not bad prices as well. I keep them about the same.
Seems to mirror the standard of living costs of these different countries a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think they need to realize in these countries that if you're going to hire an American talent, or a Canadian talent or somebody from North America or a place where, you know, we're used to higher rates that they may have to pay that. And eventually it's going to happen. I mean, they'll either get people who just are not worth, you know, are not quite the quality that they're looking for, or they're going to realize that we want good talent to do the stuff that we do. They're going to start paying a fairer rate for it. So
right. And when I say an India rate, I'm not talking it's half the rate or a sixth of the rate. No, right. No, no. I will still make sure that I'm getting something that is definitely, you know, what I value my hour or yeah. my hourly rate. But if my hourly rate is, say it's $150 an hour or $200 an hour, I would say my India price is going to be 20% lower than that, depending on the volume that they're going to give me. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, so how often do you find yourself working under those conditions, working at that lower rate in India?
15% of the time.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Not that much.
Not much, but enough that it's worth, like, it's a chunk of your income.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, you do an awful lot of e-learning, which is also one of my real prime markets. And it's e-learning. People need to understand it's hard work, but it certainly doesn't require quite the acting chops you've got to do for commercials. It really is more a matter of being consistent with what you do and technically remaining consistent. Now, what are some of the things you do? What kind of e-learning stuff have you done?
Oh, I love e-learning. I actually shows you how aged I am. In my degree, my course, you have to do a course of study before you graduate in one particular thing. And for me at that point, it was multimedia, those big old video discs that they used to have.
Oh yeah. I remember, used to teach with those.
Yeah. Okay. That's what my course of study was on. And it was the thing that would become e-learning. So I started e-learning in 1996, 97, when it really just began.
Right.
And I started off with a Clairol, how to color your hair kind of thing, but quickly got into doing medical stuff. And I loved medical stuff. I just give me a good word like glomerular, now I can't say it.
Or ankylosing spondylitis or something like that.
Glomerular filtration rate. Yeah, I love those kinds of things. And I've done over 1,000 medical e-learning programs, not just like modules, but whole complete programs.
Right.
I've done quite a bit of HR stuff too. That's really kind of medical is kind of split 50-50 between men and women in terms of the kind of narrators, but HR I think is more of falls into the women, the female voice bailiwick. I've done a lot of that.
Right.
I'm starting to do a lot of mining, which I love.
Mining.
Ooh. Yeah. They're going for the deep voice. And that's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of work. It's interesting that, you know, when you look at some of the possibilities for what's available out there to work on, especially in e-learning, and you were talking about medical, pharmaceutical companies, insurance companies, they all have this big area called compliance. Yes. And they all are producing tons and tons of stuff. Some of them are like, well, grab the secretary to talk about it and be really boring. And then the really smart companies hire people like you and me to explain it the way it really should sound.
Yeah. And Dan, I don't know if you've noticed, but in the last year, I've noticed they're really starting to follow the trend of the explainer and the commercials. Yeah. And we're seeing not just like that same kind of, you know, this program is about blah, 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 but more like the quirky announcer or the conversational read or, the football coach kind of thing. More characters in e-learning as a narrator, which is fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. This is Susie, that sort of thing, you know, where it's like, you know, this is Susie. She is working at such and such a company, and she is now going to be giving a presentation, you know, that sort of thing. Those are fun. And then get either being the narrator or becoming part of the presentation yourself. And that's voice acting. And that's really, really cool. Now, you coach people on e-learning. There's a lot of people who coach commercial. I think the majority teach commercial stuff. But teaching e-learning, how well you've been doing that for a while, and what's some of your style with that?
Well, I do coach e-learning. I coach commercial and corporate reads, and again, I guess the it depends on what the person needs in terms of coaching. Some people really, you know, you get a feel for what they need right away. And sometimes they need to connect more with the text. Sometimes they need to get out of their own head and just sort of let it flow. I don't know if this happens with you, Dan, but sometimes, you know, you're reading the script and it's like your one part of your brain is engaged, the mouth is working, everything is moving. And then there's this other part over here going, look what you're watching. What should we make for dinner tonight? Chicken? You know, it just kind of like you go in automatic almost.
Right.
It's finding that flow, that rhythm that really helps. E-learning is really like you've got to like radio. You're talking to one person. You're trying to sometimes take really dense material and you're trying to get it in their head. And so I find a very sympathetic approach really helps. Put yourself into a good position as the narrator. That's what's worked for me anyway, to really feel sorry for the poor guy on the other end who's got to learn about thrombocytopenia and, you know, and the new whatever prescribing information for right. whatever. And they got to get this done and they want to get it done and they've got their family to get home to and the kids to pick up from hockey and whatever else going on. So a sympathy in a read is really important. Another little thing that I do that's a little trick of mine is whenever you do find a word like, thrombocytopenia or whatever, or glomerular filtration rate or whatever, something that's tripping you up, I send love into the word. Send love into that word. and seriously, it works. If you you send the time and that nice feeling into it, you won't trip up on that word ever again.
Yeah. So I have found that when you start to read this stuff and you're recording it, sometimes you understand, you start to get who the author is or how they talk and how they're trying to present the material. And before you even get to the words, you know what they're going to say beforehand, especially if they've said it all before. This sounds awful familiar. But you know, you're trying to, as you said, trying to relate to the person on the other end. Having sold life insurance and sitting in a lot of boardrooms watching some training stuff going, oh God, I don't want to watch this. You know, sometimes you can actually like throw that in there and say, oh, look, you know, look, you may not want to hear this, but, you know, and you can actually become very human and sort of like break the wall, you know, the fifth wall there. And it can be really cool. And a client will go, hey, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that you can do that will help out a client. And make sure that they
and do that in your pre-roll too, like, you know, say something, your lead in, whatever. And I'll do that a lot with especially long e-learnings.
Right.
Break it up with a few real fun lead-ins, and that just, you know, gives it more fresh energy, kind of thing, in the middle of the text.
Yeah, especially if, you know, once you've worked with somebody for a while, they start writing for you, which is really nice, and that helps a lot. Well, if anybody has any questions for Kim Handysides, some tips on marketing or some more stuff about e-learning, put them in the chat room. I know Anthony is in there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, writing down everything that you guys are saying in the chat room if you have a really good question, and we'll ask her those questions when we get back after this break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Kim Handysides right here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
All right. Again, it's time. It's that time of our show to talk about one of our favorite people of all time because he just knows the voiceover business so well, and that is the amazing Harlan Hogan and his great website for all the stuff that you could possibly need for your home voiceover studio business, voiceoveressentials.com. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com and see the plethora. There's that word again, plethora. A plethora of stuff that you can find over there, especially his signature series stuff like the Portabooth and the headphones and the VO1A microphone, which Mr. Whittem here uses every day. Show George there in his VO1A microphone.
Right there it is.
You know, and it works. It's designed specifically for voiceover.
Scratch the grill, man.
They're heavy duty. Those are good MXL-built microphones. They're fine. Anyway, you can get all of that great stuff over at voiceoveressentials.com. But not only that, he has access to all sorts of stuff. He sells stuff in great combos, like a microphone and an interface and the headphones. He'll sell you a whole package. And the great thing is that he guarantees what he sells. If you don't like it, you can ship it back. But what's not to like? He chose a lot of this stuff himself personally, and he wants you to have the best stuff for you at the best price. But guess what? There's also something else. When you visit VoiceOver Essentials, they can sign you up for preferred offerings and specials just by providing your email. How do you like that? In fact, rumor has it, a money-saving offer is in the works in just a couple of days for the folks who have signed up. So he says.
Well, he's the man.
He's the guy. Check it out. The best way to get there is to scroll down the page that you are watching this very webcast live on right now, down there, and you'll see the picture of Harlan Hogan there talking into his portabooth, and all you have to do is click on that. It will take you right to his site and sign up as a preferred customer and get the best voiceover stuff there is. If he doesn't have it, you probably don't need it. Anyway, that's voiceoveressentials.com. Go over there and buy all his stuff. Thanks, Harlan.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Vizzy Demos introductory pricing extended through the end of April.
Here we are inside the bagel.
Sounds a little roomy.
I'm just ad-libbing. The ad-lib light was on, you know?
All right.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on VOBS.us.
Hey, well, we are back, and we've got questions flooding in. I wanted to give Dan some vocal rest. Dan's been working hard tonight.
Yeah, I've got to get my voice back sooner or later.
No, he's doing great. This one came in from Scott Chambers. And, Kim, this is something I meant you touched on, but I'm not exactly sure if you said explicitly, what is your favorite genre of voiceover?
Commercial.
Commercial is
just
the top?
Because it's so creative. I mean, yeah. I love e-learning just because, it's a hard one. But yeah, if I had to pick, it'd be commercial because you expect so much from the creative and they really do push the envelope, the whatever you're supposed to push. Yeah.
And of course, it doesn't take as long.
That's true. And it pays well.
It pays well.
You can't ignore that factor.
No, no question about it. You know, I mean, commercials are fun. Great work if you can get it. Mm-hmm. And but if not, there's all that e-learning and all that corporate presentations, and just keep yourself working. All righty. Maxine Dunn asks, what kind of home studio do you have, Kim, and what is your equipment? That's actually, that's a George question. There,
well, so. You know, it took Maxine to ask it. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, why didn't you ask?
None of us thought to ask you this.
Well, I have two studios, actually. I have one in my house in Montreal and one in my country house up north.
Oh.
And both have whisper rooms. Mm-hmm. With both have Neumann TLM 103s.
Uh-huh.
I also do have a Sennheiser 416, which I take on the road with me. And yeah. I started off with a Rode Broadcaster, so I still have that one too.
Yeah.
I just use a Scarlett 2i in one of them and a 4i in the other one for my preamp.
Yeah.
I use Twisted Wave, and I have a great stack from George Whittam that I love.
What are scenarios and that you find the stack is useful?
Oh, gosh.
And for those that don't know what we're talking about, stack is a processing preset that you apply to your audio after you've edited it and everything, before you send it out. It's the mastering. It's the polish on the audio. But yeah, not everything requires it. Not everything you should use it on. So when do you use it?
I use it for everything that I send out that's finished.
Okay.
Yeah. An audition that my agent has sent in that I know is going to be good. They're really looking, and you know, it might be the difference between something that sounds a little more polished and not might be the difference in me getting the job or not. I'll use it on that. Otherwise I tend to not, like, just for regular auditioning all the time. I don't, because I'm just, you know, trying to get them out as quickly as possible.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Because I made this assumption that the most they'd want to use the stack on all the auditions to help them all kind of stand out. But you're a little bit more selective as to when you do it.
Yeah. It depends on how, like, I tend to try to get 30 auditions in a day.
Yeah.
And then spend some time on marketing, and then hopefully some time on narration and, you know, editing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it depends on how quickly I can get those 30 out, how much of a rush I'm in, and frankly, how much they're worth, how important I think they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Of course, when I send out auditions, I'm sort of like Whole Foods, mm-hmm. fresh and raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just make sure you record it right in the first place, and that's usually a big help. But then the stacks are good, maybe making it a little bit louder, giving it a little bit more presence,
When you're a pro and you've got really great consistent mic placement, mic delivery,
good
and
acoustics,
all that stuff,
yeah,
it's doesn't you just don't need it that much. You
absolutely.
Know?
Question here from Michael Bleha, who I get to see every now and again. Question for Kim: for those of us uninitiated in e-learning, how would you describe the main differences of e-learning from other genres like commercial or audiobooks, et cetera?
Okay. Audiobooks, it's like you're right in the person's ear, right? I mean, Hilary Huber talks about that being like, you're in their earbud. So you want to be like soft and gentle. Commercial is, you know, well, it's going to be, it really is a smorgasbord. Do we still use that word?
Sure.
You know, it depends on the direction of the commercial. E-learning, corporate, I find is, you know, depending, because corporate explainer and e-learning, they kind of blend back and forth. But the thing that I find that's different about e-learning, and I hope it's the thing that has been making me successful, I tend to think that it is that the idea is that you're teaching someone. And so it's like you're having that hat on as you're reading. You're teaching somebody something, but you don't want to be top down either. It's like the best kind of teaching is always one-on-one. And that's the beauty of e-learning, because you really are teaching one-on-one.
Mm.
But I mean, you have to have enough authority to be able to feel like you really understand the topic. And it's interesting. I did a blog once on I did a whole bunch of stuff for the Options Industry Council. I had no idea what I was talking about. And you know, our options. And the article was on, do you need to, as a narrator, do you need to read the material ahead of time? I did need to read the material ahead of time in that case. I usually don't. I usually always cold read everything. But in that instance, it was so far out of the realm of my normal day-to-day life that, yeah, I had to read it over two or three times before I understood what a strangle put was and all that kind of stuff. Did I answer the question?
Yes, you did. Very thoroughly. Thank you. Sometimes you have to know when it's time to stop talking, right?
You
don't have a director here to tell you when to stop.
Nor would he dare do that.
Yeah, exactly. Another one from Maxine. She says, thank you for all this fantastic information. Do you have studio hours? Or since you work for international clients, do you work at all hours of the day? How do you restrict your time working every day?
Yeah, I used to up until actually 2 weeks ago. For the last 2.5 years, I basically said that I was open from 9 to 9. And I took an hour off for lunch and an hour off for supper, and that was it. But recently, I've kind of had I've got to really take better care of myself and my family. And so I'm trying to have a better work-life balance. It's important.
Yes.
You know, the people in the loved ones in your life can only stand not seeing you so long. And, yeah. You know, you can only stand to be locked in a padded cell for so many hours of the day for so long too. So, I've cut it back now and I'm flexible. I say that, you know, I have flexible hours within that 12-hour range, but and so if somebody needs me during that 12-hour period, I'll be there. But now I really try to just say, okay, 5:30, 6 o'clock, I'm going to wrap it up for the night and be with my family.
Oh man, that's so important. You set boundaries and you're sticking to them, unless little asterisk.
That's
unless
it.
There's a really good reason. I mean, right. I know I've been through that myself doing what I do. It's quite important to have boundaries.
Yeah, you find a great audition. Dinner can wait.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe not. Question from Susan Mazel. She says, how do you divide your time between auditioning, marketing, and working jobs? Do you find there's a ratio in there?
Yeah. What I try to do is, I go back and forth. I'm more comfortable doing everything, like doing all my auditions in a row, then doing all my narrations in a row, then doing all my marketing in a row. But, cause I just don't like to have myself, that's just the way my brain works. But, I'm trying to be more David Kaplan-esque about the whole thing. And if watch and see when there's an audition that comes in. And so that works for auditioning and narrating and editing, but it doesn't work for marketing. Because marketing, you really do have to have your own, because it's a little foreign to me. You have to have your whole brain in there. And so I tend to either do that at the very beginning of my day or at the very end of my day.
Right.
You know,
schedule actual time to do the physical marketing. It's like, I'm going to do this and then whatever else comes my way.
Exactly.
Last one
from our good friend, Bill Russell.
Bill Russell. He says, you know, Bill too.
Talented guy.
What challenges did you have transferring from acting in television? So on camera acting to voice acting?
You know, it's actually the other way around because I started as a DJ. And then I had to work in television. I was a weather woman. I was an on-camera co-host for a TV show, stuff like that. So for me, that switch there were two switches. One was in radio. It's like, it's very intimate and I love the intimacy of radio. And I guess you bring that into voiceover as well. It's very intimate. With television, it's not. I mean, television as a co-host or as a weather woman or something like that, it's like you're talking to a whole bunch of people and you know it.
Talking to the room.
You're talking to the room. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And the other thing, as a woman, I mean, in radio, I could just wear sweats and not no makeup, and nobody cared. Nobody knew who I was. There's a wonderful anonymity in that.
Yeah.
When I worked in TV, you know, I'd walk in and they'd say, did you sleep well last night? Were you out drinking? You know, oh my God, look at your skin. What have you done? Have you been eating French fries? you know, you can't wear that. What are you doing? Houndstooth will not work on television. You can't do that. And what are we going to do with your hair this week? You know, it was just like so weird, all of the preoccupation with appearance. Of course, not growing up in LA, it was weird for me anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's kind of like different in Los Angeles because it is so very much, you know, presence and visual and everything else. Yeah.
Okay. Question. Cool. Well, Kim, it has been a pleasure having you on. We've been looking forward to this all week to talk to somebody from way back east.
Yay.
You know, it's
like, I didn't even say hey.
Take off, hey.
Got some poutine.
Some poutine? Right.
Were you having poutine before you came on?
Yeah. Actually, I like the beignets myself.
Yeah.
They have beignets in Montreal?
We call them bangs.
Bangs. Okay.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
All right. They have all sorts of weird names for things up there. Gazal in French.
That's right.
Got different words for all sorts of stuff. But anyway, Kim, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
If someone is interested in getting your coaching to them and they want to learn something from you and work with you one-on-one, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
My name at gmail.com. KimHandysides@gmail.com.
Well, that makes it tough. Very good. Great having you on. Thanks so much for being joining us here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Thank you. It's been a total pleasure. I love you guys.
All righty. Thanks for watching and thanks for being here. All right. Kim Handysides. All right. Well, that's going to do it for that part of the show. We still have a couple of things we got to get across to people. So don't go away. We'll be right back here on VOBS.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Well, wasn't she pleasant?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always nice to meet people who are down to earth and doing this type of work, and they're not over the top, but she's doing all the stuff that you should be doing to really make a good voiceover business.
And she's obviously a hard worker.
I'd say so.
To me, encouraging to hear a voice actor who's decided to reduce the number of hours they're available. Because that, to me, is a good sign.
If only that were possible. Anyway, we've got a great show coming up next week. A couple of friends of ours, Paul Stefano and Sean Daly, who's been in Nagasaki for most of his career. Really? He's been in Japan. Yeah. But he's back here in the States, and he and Paul have put together a podcast called The VO Meter.
Clever name.
Yeah, not the VU Meter, the VO Meter.
I like it.
Yeah, we'll have to find out what that's all about, but I guess their episode just went out, so check them out.
Yeah, I think they're on podcast episode 7, I believe, at this point.
Excellent.
So they've been at it for a little while now.
Yeah, and why would anyone want to do a podcast about voiceover?
We'll find out.
Yeah, that's good to ask him that one. April 10th is Passover. We won't be here. But you can watch. It'll just be, you know, a slideshow going on.
I might be here oiling the computer.
Yeah. Yeah. And stoking the fire and stuff like that. But of course, you can always, if you're desperate for some VOBS, it's all on YouTube there, guys. So you can check out any episode you want. Maybe you missed one. Check it out. April 17th, we're not sure what we're going to do. It's Monday after Easter, which...
That still seems to me like it could be a good fan roundtable night.
It might be. It's also Dingus Day.
Well, that's even a better reason.
Yes. I actually met somebody who knew what Dingus Day was yesterday.
I've heard you mention it, but I still don't know
what it means. A Polish holiday the day after. It's a celebration of the end of Lent.
Gotcha.
Where apparently they beat the virgins with pussy willows.
Oh, okay. Good for them.
You think I'm kidding? I'm not. All right. So we'll see what's going to go on Easter Monday. April 24th. The very lovely and talented Sylvia Vilgren will actually be here.
Yay!
And then on May 1st, Bill Farmer, voice of Goofy and a number of other things, will be
here
with
in
us.
The flesh.
He'll be here in our studio.
Awesome!
Be great to have somebody here in the studio. It's always great to have an audience here, and we do have an audience tonight. You guys can wave.
It helps. It really helps. I'll tell you when, especially if the guest is not able to be here in Toronto or Montreal, you know, it's great having a studio audience here. So anybody that wants to be here in the studio audience, just email us the guys at vobs.tv. So you can be here. Jay Harsh was like, am I allowed to bring anybody? And, you know, I think he thought it was like a big deal to be. It's not a big, I mean, it's great to have you, but it's not hard to be here. Just email us, ask us. And, you know, we'd be happy to have you in and hang out with us.
Absolutely. Donors of the week. People who have helped us out. You know, go to the virtual set there, Andrew. You know, because we spared no expense. There we go. Here we are in our new virtual set. You're leaning on here. Yeah, you know, this is what your donations help with, making this a really professional-looking show.
This is where your money goes, folks.
Yeah,
right here.
Really.
Just thought we'd let you know.
So who are some of the people that have helped us with that?
Oh, we've had donations in the last week from Diana Birdsall.
Thank you, Diana.
Michael Martin, Eric Aragoni.
Eric.
Patty Gibbons, Amanda Fellows, Brian Page, my dad, George Whittem, Maria Mackus, Thomas Pinto, and Shelley Avellino.
Excellent. Thank you. Also, if you're interested in some VoiceOver Body Shop logo stuff, T-shirts, shower curtains, all sorts of things, coffee mugs. See, here's one of the actual coffee mugs. Here, get a close-up of that, Andrew. There we go. There it is.
It's a beaut.
It's a left-handed cup, though. But anyway, if you're left-handed and you want a VoiceOver Body Shop mug, this is the one to get. And if you want to get any of this logo stuff, all you have to do is right above me, there's a big red stripe on the page. It says click on that. It takes you to the store, and you can see all the marvelous things that we can have our logo on.
That's right.
We have a clock. I mean, all sorts of stuff. Show your loyalty. Go do that. Anyway, our opening tonight, the intro was provided by the also lovely and talented and Canadian Jody Krangle.
That's right.
And if you want to have your voice, we're going to be cutting a new opening soon.
We keep saying that.
We're going to do it because we have some more stuff that we can throw in there. And I have some ideas to make that a little more interesting. Not that it wasn't interesting before. When we write that, you can send us in some more of your interpretations of what that should be like. What's going on over at Edge?
Well, we got a few things coming in from the newsletter. I'm giving it a check right now. One thing, I always got to get a plug in for one of my services. And
please.
One of those is ask a question. I get emails all the time with technical questions, and I can't always get to them because I got a line of people that paid to do something else. I got to get to them first. So I figured let's just create a product for those people that just have one kind of short question. And that's what Ask a Question is for. It's only $19 and it's over at edgestudiotechnology.com. And then we also teach PR. We have someone that in our midst at Edge who's in the education department who's a PR expert. And that's Suzanne Pinedo. And if you'd like to work with her, she does webinars on how to promote yourself out there, be better at being in the public eye. That's at edgestudio.com/. Get your pen out.
Slash.
Let's do a slash and a dash.
Okay.
April, edgestudio.com/. About dash. Voice dash. Over dash. Consultation dash services. That's where you can find that on the web.
Okay, cool. All righty. Show logs. Jack DeGoli is still sitting out there in the desert writing everything we've done and said tonight, and it will be there when we present when you see the download for the YouTube video, it'll be there as well.
If you ever meet Jack in person, he's probably one of the most well-educated voice actors because he takes notes and then types them all for this show every week. So he's been absorbing all of this content. So the guy's a font of knowledge.
Or a sponge of knowledge.
Yes.
Let's see. Okay. We need to thank our sponsors, of course. Video Demos.
Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials.
Right. VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo and the Rehearsal app.
And Antland's Killer Demos. And thank you all for providing this uninterrupted stream that was technologically magnificent tonight.
I think tonight was pretty smooth. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, okay, cool.
I got to get a nod from Andrew.
All right. Well, we need to thank Andrew for doing a fabulous job and making sure that this all works.
Thanks,
fabulous.
Buddy.
There he is. Wave, Andrew.
He's less bashful now.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Thanks to Marcy for having a rehearsal tonight and not bothering us. Our producer, Catherine Curran.
Anthony Gettig and Jack Daniel in the chat room.
Yes. And, of course, Andrew, who we already thanked. And Jack DeGoli for the show notes. And, by the way, tomorrow is Lee Penny's birthday.
Yay, Lee!
So we thank him for just being himself and happy birthday, Lee. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight, and we'll be back next week with Paul Stefano and Sean Daly talking about their podcast. And if you got a question, send it in to the guys at VOBS.tv, and you too could have your question answered here. Just don't send your own picture. Send the picture I asked for. Anyway, look, voiceover is a tough business. You got to work hard at it. You have to study. You have to understand the technological stuff a little bit. If you need some help, we're here to help you. So everybody have a good week. Work hard. Study. And I'll tell you that I'm Dan Leonard.
And I am George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.